Carol, I am so sorry to be so late. My daughter's feeling sick today. She's had a cough for a week, and it is so frustrating. It just doesn't seem to want to go away.
Tammy, I'm so sorry to hear that. Is she home resting now?
Now she is. I took her to see the doctor this morning, and she said it was a mild cold and that I probably wouldn't get sick. So I took her home, made her some tea, and got her settled in bed.
Oh, that's good. But you know, tea sounds like a nice idea about now. How about if we have a nice cup of chamomile together as we chat today?
Oh, a tea party. That sounds like exactly what I need. Hello, and welcome to Women of Hope. Today we have Dr. Karen back again. She's come in to talk about a more serious type of cough, tuberculosis, or TB. Good morning, Dr. Karen. Thank you for coming today.
Good morning, Tammy and Carol.
We don't know much about tuberculosis, so maybe you can tell us your experience with it.
Sure. I've seen TB patients in a few countries now. In Australia and India and Tanzania, there's one thing they all have in common. They all need treatment and they all need someone to care for them.
Dr. Karen, what causes TB?
It's caused by a germ, a bacteria called Mycobacteria tuberculosis. People are affected with it all around the world. In fact, nearly one third of the world's people have the germ living in their system. That's one person of every three people in the world.
That's a lot of people. You say they have the germ, but does that mean that they're all sick with it?
No, people usually catch TB in childhood, but the body's immune system usually stops it from causing any problems. Often it lives in a sealed-off part of the lungs. And this is called latent TB. Our immune system usually helps us to fight off diseases, but when it weakens, for many different reasons, the germ can become active and cause problems all around the body.
So you're telling us that most of the people with TB don't even know they have it?
That's right. It hides away. To test whether your body has the germ, you can have a special test called a Mantoux or tuberculin test. You have a small injection into your forearm. The nurse or doctor looks at the site of the injection 2 days later to see how your body reacts. If you have latent TB, you can have treatment with a special medication to decrease the chance of it coming back. You have to take this medicine for about 6 months to lower the risk of this germ becoming active.
So why don't we use this medication all the time?
Well, everybody has a different risk of the germ becoming active based on their age and any other health problems. And also if they have close contact with other people who might have a weakened immune system. If someone in your family has TB, it is important to have a latent TB test, or if a close friend or workmate has it. Then, if you also have latent TB, you can talk to your doctor about treatment.
How do people catch TB? You mentioned family, friends, and people at work.
The TB germ is usually spread through the air when someone with active TB in their lungs coughs. Fortunately, it often dies when it's in contact with light and with lots of fresh air. However, if you live or work where there are a lot of people in a small place, you're more likely to catch it.
So, if someone at home or work has TB and you spend lots of time with them, then it's a good thing to get checked for TB.
That's right. A check for both latent TB and active TB.
I think you'd better tell us what active TB is.
Active TB means that the TB germ is causing problems in your body. Sometimes this can happen when you first catch the germ. More often, it happens when your body is weakened with something else. The germ starts to move around and cause problems.
You said when our body is weakened with something else. What types of things weaken our body?
The most common causes are things like not enough food, or not eating good healthy food, stress, lack of sleep, working long hours. Other things might be infections like HIV, which makes the immune system very weak. Sometimes certain medications can have the same effect, like prednisolone, which is used to treat arthritis, asthma, bronchitis, and some skin rashes.
So to stop something like TB, it's important to eat enough food and that needs to be good, healthy food like meat and fish, chicken and fresh vegetables, and whole grains. You need to sleep well and not work too hard and take some time to relax. And if you have HIV, it must be treated properly.
Yes, good food, rest, and treatment of HIV are all important for treating TB properly.
Good food and times of rest are important for all of us, aren't they? Could you tell us where active TB goes in the body?
TB is a very interesting but deadly germ. It usually affects the lungs, but it can be in the kidneys, the bones, the brain, the skin, and the lymph nodes. These act as filters or traps for foreign particles in our body. It can really go anywhere in the body.
And what would the symptoms be if this happens?
The typical symptoms are a cough that lasts more than 2 weeks, and often you cough up sputum or phlegm with blood in it. You may have a fever, feel short of breath, feel very tired, or lose weight. But it can really cause anything depending on which part of the body is affected.
So you're saying that we should be careful of a long-lasting cough, fever, and coughing up any blood, and feeling tired and losing a lot of weight.
That's right, Carol. If you have any of these things, please go and see your doctor or healthcare worker for a test. Usually you have to cough up 3 samples of sputum to send to the laboratory and have a chest X-ray. From these tests, plans can be made for your treatment if you have TB. Also, if you do have TB, it's really important to have an HIV test because TB can be a sign of your body having low immunity.
Here on Women of Hope, we've been talking about TB, or tuberculosis, with our good friend Dr. Karen. Doctor, I've heard that TB treatments take a long time.
Yes, if the TB is in your lungs, the treatment is often about 12 months. The first 2 months usually involve about 4 tablets a day, and then after that there's less tablets. Quite a lot of TB germs are no longer killed by the normal medicines we've been using. If the treatment doesn't make you start feeling better quite quickly, you may have to have some more complicated treatments. If the TB is in other parts of your body, the treatment can be different too. Most countries provide free TB treatment, as it's such a terrible disease to have and is so easily spread.
As with any medication, it's really important to take all of your tablets and, as we said, look after yourself.
It is so important to follow your healthcare worker's instructions and to take your medication regularly and for the correct amount of time. Otherwise, the TB germ might still be in your body, and if you become sick with it again, the treatment might not work.
Well, Dr. Karen, thanks to you, we now know how to recognize TB and what to do if we think we might have it. But tell us, how can we avoid catching TB?
The BCG vaccine gives some protection, but it does not always work every time. Babies in places with high TB rates should have the BCG vaccine soon after birth. Anyone with TB should stay away from other people as much as possible until the doctors say they are not contagious, so they won't pass it on to anyone else. Sometimes this means staying in hospital until their sputum no longer shows large amounts of germs. Sometimes it means wearing a mask to catch the germs when they come out of their mouth. Anyone with a cough should cover their mouth with their hand when they cough and then wash their hands. A handful of tissues are better, but more expensive and not always there. And when you use them, you should put them into a rubbish bin and still wash your hands. People should not spit on the ground, as a TB germ can be blown by the wind and other people can breathe it in.
So anyone with a cough should not spit near other people, especially if they have TB.
Well, we don't want to give our germs to other people and make them sick, do we?
That reminds me of another good practice, washing our hands. We should always be careful to wash them after we blow our nose or cover our mouths when we cough or even help someone who is sick. And I'm glad I got my daughter to the doctor today.
I am too, Tammy. And I hope she'll be feeling better real soon. And thank you, Dr. Karen, for talking to us today about TB.
Oh, I was so interested that I forgot to drink my tea. It's cold now. I'll make another cup. Would you like another one, Carol?
Oh, please, yes. And maybe you would want to go make another cup of tea before Roz comes to tell us another story from God's Word, the Bible. We've been talking to Dr. Karen about TB and how easy it is to pass the germs of TB to another person.
And I washed my hands before I made the tea because I don't want to pass any germs I might have on to Carol.
Why, thanks, Tammy. And now, here's Roz. She's going to tell us another story from God's Word. Welcome, Roz.
Thanks, Carol. Hi, Tammy. And hello to you. I hope you're enjoying a nice, fresh cup of tea. We've been hearing stories from long ago how God the Creator chose a tribe of people called the Israelites to worship and follow Him. That was so that they could show the world what He was like.
Yes, we heard how God rescued them from slavery and led them through the desert.
And He gave them His law to live by. What a great gift that was.
They had a lot to learn, and God was sometimes angry with them when they grumbled and rebelled. But He always kept going, providing their needs and teaching them that they could depend on Him. Well, after years of living as nomads, they got near to the land that God had promised their ancestor Abraham. It was called Canaan then. Abraham's descendants had grown into many thousands, and others had joined them along the way, people who wanted to follow their God. Can you imagine them, all camped just outside the country waiting to hear from God? And that's where today's story starts. Let's listen to the story from God's true word, the Bible. Moses was their leader, but he was a very old man by this time, and God had told him he would soon die. So Moses called them all together, and he made a very long speech. It was all written down, and in the Bible, it's called the Book of Deuteronomy. Moses reminded them of all that God had done for them and how often they had rebelled and grumbled. He reminded them that God was the creator of the whole earth, not just a local god of their tribe. Moses went over the agreement that God had made with them and reminded them of the good laws he'd given them. The adults who were listening to Moses were just children or not even born yet when the law was given. So God had to renew his agreement with them. He called it a covenant of love. He promised again to look after them in their new home and to make them grow and flourish. But he also made some conditions. They must obey his laws, and especially they must not blend in with the people of Canaan or marry them. The most important warning was this: they must not have anything to do with the idols and spirits that the Canaanites worshipped. They were told, in fact, to destroy the idols and not even keep the gold and silver and things that they were covered with.
Roz, can I ask you a question?
Sure, Carol.
I understand why they shouldn't marry people who followed other gods. It would be very tempting to follow the local customs of your husband or wife and get involved in idol worship. But why couldn't they use the gold or the silver after it was melted down?
Well, Moses said that God hated anything to do with those false idols, because he knew it would be a trap for his people. All those things were like the germs that cause diseases, like the TB bacteria and HIV virus that we've talked about today. They could infect the thoughts and the love of God's people and gradually lead them in the wrong ways. So God warned them that if they were not true to him, he would discipline them and even send them away from the land. But if they returned with all their hearts to God, he would bring them back. But he made sure they knew that whatever happened, he would not remove his faithful love from them. Now listen carefully to the words of Moses at the end of his speech. He said, "Today I call heaven and earth to witness that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. And you know, God still offers us that choice. Will you choose to follow God and choose life?
God is so patient, isn't he? We can always depend on his faithful love for us. But he expects us to stay true to him. We can learn a lot from these warnings.
Now let's hear what happened next in this story. The boundary of Canaan was the River Jordan. It was spring, and the river was in full flood, overflowing its banks and spreading across the plain. The people could see no way of crossing it with all their baggage and animals. Then the order was given. When you see God's covenant box being carried by the priests, you should follow it at a distance. You haven't been this way before, so follow them. So the people packed up and got ready, wondering how they would get across the flooded plain. Then the priests took the covenant box on their shoulders. This box held the law of God in it. It was a special symbol of God's presence with them. They marched up to the edge of the water, and then they marched right into the river.
Wow, they must have been confident that God was going to do something very special.
And God did. Immediately, the river stopped flowing. It had been cut off from further upstream. Soon, the riverbed was uncovered and it quickly dried out, so the people were able to walk across. Then they knew for sure that God would continue to look after them as they moved into the land. And that night, they ate food from the promised land for the first time. And that's the end of this part of the story and the beginning of their new life.
What an amazing experience! A real miracle!
Yes, it was a miracle. I talked to my friend who is an archaeologist. He studies the remains of ancient settlements. He told me that you can see where an earthquake could have dammed the river for a while, just at that exact moment that they needed it.
Let's see if we can remember the first part of the story. What did Moses remind them about? That's right. He made sure they understood that God was the creator of the whole earth and that he had called them and looked after them. Yes, and he made a special agreement, a covenant of love. They had agreed to keep the good laws that God gave them.
What was the most important warning that Moses gave them? What do you think?
They were not to have anything to do with the religion of the people who lived there already, because it would lead them in a wrong way.
They would have remembered this, because it was in the last message they heard from their beloved leader Moses. It's a very important warning, and it's meant for us too. What can we learn about God from this? God wants us to follow him only. And what about the second part of the story? The Israelites were stuck on the other side because?
The Israelites were stuck on the other side because the river was flooded. They had to have faith and follow instructions, and then God stopped the flow of the river and made a way for them to walk across into the new homeland.
They trusted God, did what he said, and he showed them the way forward. I love this story. I can just imagine them holding their breath, waiting to see what God would do. Sometimes I feel like that when I can't see the way forward. I have to trust that God will show me the next step to take and bring me safely through the situation. And he does. Often in very surprising ways. That gives me confidence that he will always be with me, just as Jesus promised when he was here on earth.
Tammy, why don't you read that promise to us?
I'd love to. It's a special promise because it was the last message from our beloved Master Jesus. He said, "Listen, I will be with you always to the end of the age."
Why don't we say it together? You can join in too. Jesus said,
"Listen, I will be with you always to the end of the age."
We've learned a lot today about God's patience and faithfulness and how He wants us to trust Him and follow Him only. I hope this week that you can think about this story and what it tells you for your life.
It's time for us to go, dear friend. If you have any questions, we would love to hear from you. You can write to us at TWR Women of Hope. The email address is twrwomenofhope@twr.org. If you've missed a program or you want to hear it again, visit our website, twrwomenofhope.org, or visit our Facebook page. We do hope you will be with us again. Have a great week.